Hebrews 13, it's kind of, we don't actually know who wrote the book of Hebrews, I think, if I'm right in saying there's a bit of speculation. But at the end, like all of these letters to the early churches, they throw in a whole lot of things that they just kind of want to say at the end. And it's interesting that the writer throws back a couple of, he's remembering and reminding the people of Old Testament, or what we would say was scriptures from the Old Testament. So he says that God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. And we've heard that a lot today, that God is saying he's with us. And again, he's saying, so we have this confidence, and he quotes from the Psalms, that the Lord is my helper and I will not be afraid. What can man do? And I kind of thought to myself, you know, there's a theme. We need to remember. I mean, I am getting worse at remembering. I haven't got a great memory. I barely know who any of you are. But Tanya can remember everything. But I can't. And I think sometimes that's a gift. Sometimes it is a gift that God allows us to not remember, because life can be pretty hard, and things and stuff that we go through, actually it's just as well that our memory fades of those things. But because we're designed with that sort of natural fading away of memories, we've got to do more to remind ourselves of the good things, to remind ourselves of the things that God has said, remind ourselves of what he has promised. And so, you know, this is what this scripture is saying. It's saying, just remember, God's already said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Some of our prayers can be, oh God, please come and help me. He's never going to not help you. He's never going to not be with you. But we have to remind ourselves. And it's funny from where that scripture is taken, because it comes from Deuteronomy. We heard, interestingly, through the summer series, we heard a lot of people talking about things they remembered as a kid, Bible stories they remembered, and how that has affected or experiences with grandparents and family members. And this scripture comes from Deuteronomy, which itself is a book of remembering. So you've got the beginning of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Have I got that right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So they've only got four books through, and they need to remind themselves of what the last book was, because that's just life. And so Moses, before he hands over to Joshua, he goes through, he gets all the people together, and he goes through the whole law to remind them. It says that he needed to remind them of who this God was that they were serving, what he'd said, what he'd promised. And then, interestingly, so at the end of Deuteronomy 31 and verse 4, so he's got all the people together, and he says to the people, the Lord will deliver all. He said, verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. So that's where that scripture comes from that is quoted in Hebrews. Joshua would have been among those people. I've got the feeling that Joshua might be a bit like me and very forgetful, because immediately Moses pulls him aside and says, he summons Joshua, and in the presence of all Israel, he says to him, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to your forefathers to give them. And then in verse 8 it says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So he's reminded Joshua immediately, hey, Joshua, that's for you. And if you go into the beginning of the book of Joshua, he gets it three more times. So either he had a really serious problem with short-term memory loss, or there was a kind of feeling that we are just naturally designed to need to be reminded what this is all about. And if you in the Hebrews scripture in verse 6, it says, so we have confidence. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Confidence is trust. Confidence is is faith that God, who has done it before, will do it again. And if you read further down in that scripture, you get that scripture that says Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what the writer in the Hebrews is trying to say is that, look, it was the same back then. God said it then, he would never leave you or forsake you. Jesus came and said he would never leave you and forsake you. Now we're here and we're in a different thing. It's the same. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. You can have confidence in the message, the version that it says that. It says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then it says Jesus is totally himself all the time. I like that. That for some of us, we've got this picture that God is kind of got a little bit better. The Old Testament, he was a bit of a nasty kind of God. And then he starts to get a little bit better and he likes us a bit more. But the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means that what he was doing when he walked this earth, he wants to do now. You know, we're a church that believes and wants to pray for people to be healed. I mean, it's great that we've got the NHS to put on, give you new knees and put on boots and deliver your babies. And we love all of that. But actually, some of us are struggling with health issues. And it's easy to believe, oh, that was back then. Jesus did that sort of stuff when he walked the earth, but not now. But if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he wants to do the same things that he was doing when he walked this earth now. And it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget that God's done something before. We celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. Yeah, impressive. But it's easy to forget. Yeah, and it's funny, when you're doing that, I bought my original negatives from my wedding photographer, who was from Clevedon. And so I've been scanning in my wedding photographs from Kongsbury Church and looking at all the fresh faces of the people who are at my wedding and remembering back to that time and thinking that I thought my uncle was ancient. And finding out that Richard was probably only about a few years older than I am now when he was marrying me. And I don't know what I think about that. I'm going to gloss over that. But the same, we're doing some work on our website and you're rewriting the things that you believe and the things that make this church this church. And you're reminded of what God has done. You're reminded when you're remembering your marriage, of the things that you've done in the past, and it's good to remember those, to continue doing them, to continue to remember the love and the enthusiasm and the passion that you had for each other. Normally, Tanya sits there and I can look at her, so I'm looking at her over in that direction. And this is what the Bible is encouraging us to do. It says, remember, remind yourself, back even in when the law was given, the Israelites were told, remind your kids, tell them what God has done. Tell people the good things they've done, because we forget. And it's easy to find ourselves in a position where we're kind of moaning and groaning about, oh dear, or trying to persuade God to do something, when actually the first thing we should do is to remember back to when he did provide, when he did get us out of that situation to which we couldn't figure out a solution, when he did come through, and build that confidence once again. I'm a great fan of Joshua and all that kind of he did, but if he needs to be reminded five times in a very short fashion to be strong and courageous, then we need to be. The second scripture was that was quoted from Hebrews was brought out of Psalm 118, and in verse 6 it says, "The Lord is with me; I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" And I like that scripture. The Lord is with me; I will not be afraid. what can man do to me? Now, you can insert into man anything you like. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can Brexit do to me? You know, what can my neighbor do to me? What, you know, basically what it's saying it's getting is aligning ourselves and getting our perspective right. If God is for me, who can be against me? If he's with me and he said he'll never leave me or forsake me, okay. That means if I've got confidence in that, I don't need to be afraid. Because fear ultimately is an indicator that your trust in God is you're losing some of your trust in God. It's not possible to live with fear and God, because the Bible says that perfect love drives out fear. So God, who is love, if he's with you, the natural what will happen is fear will disappear. And even logical fear will disappear, and supernaturally you will have a confidence that's not in yourself, but in, hey, if God's with me, who can be against me? I won't be afraid. What can man do to me? And you start to get back to where God wants you. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in princes. And we are in unsettling times. I'm not trying to trivialize it. We are in unsettling times, but you can choose every time you feel that fear coming over you and think, well, what's going to happen? Am I going to live with that? Or am I going to take this choice? Am I only going to take refuge in the Lord? I'm not going to trust in man. And then if you read the whole of Psalm 118, it talks about nations surrounding me and like swarms of bees. And yet there's peace and there's a refuge. And as we take communion now, it's the same thing. Jesus said, he said, do this in remembrance of me. Because he knows that we need to be constantly brought back to all that this represents. The death and resurrection of Jesus, as symbolized by the bread and the wine, brings us back into sharp focus of everything he's done for us. It's finished. It's a finished work. We can be confident. We can walk in it. We can experience it. We can live in it. And yeah, I as much as I need reminding about so many other things, I need reminding about this. You know, remind myself again of all that he's done. Confidence comes by remembering, by remembrance, by looking back and building that confidence, not in yourself, but in how God has got you out of all of those other situations and will do the same, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to take communion, and if you've lost your confidence, or your confidence is slipping, or you're thinking you're in a situation or you're in a tight spot, actually, just as we take communion, think, God, I'm remembering, give me confidence again in you. Give me a reassurance. God's not got a problem with it. The person who said to him, he said, do you believe? And someone at least was honest with Jesus and said, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. So it's like, yeah, I want to believe, but I kind of don't believe as well. Help me try. And so you're not going to have to drum this up. Just be honest. Say, God, you know what? The way I'm looking at life, it seems I can't see a way out. But I'm confident in you and focus on him. Take refuge in him. Look to him. Look to where your help comes from. It doesn't come from man. It doesn't come from good ideas. It doesn't come from a good bank account, because that can all disappear in a trice. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you want to give us a settled reassurance, a confidence that doesn't come from what we can control, but comes from you. That picture of letting go of what we're holding tightly is It's that feeling of, if I hold on for dear life, it'll be okay. And yet you're saying, let go and I've got you. Let go and I'll catch you. Let go and we can do this together. So, Father, I pray that as we walk into this season, for going back to school, for going back to work, for the holidays over, for all the things that are ahead of us, Lord, I thank you that we can take refuge in you. We can be confident in you and in your mighty power and in your love for us and in your amazing favor towards us. Thank you that as we take communion, the bread and wine, we know that you have done it all. It is finished. It's a finished work. We are complete. The separation, anything that stops us connecting with you is done away with. And through this work, we get to live a new life. We get to live a reconnected life with heaven. And heaven's resources flow in our direction and fill us so that we can live this life and also so that we can love others and give to others. So, Father, I pray that you'd fill us with hope, fill us with fresh confidence, fill us with vision, and know that he who is for us is greater than anything else that we can imagine. God, that you are our all in all. So, Father, I thank you for that confidence today. Jesus, I thank you that you said yes to the task of showing us the way, showing us the Father, showing us how to live this life. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you empower and revitalize and fill every area that is lacking. So breathe your life, breathe your breath of life into us physically, emotionally, and mentally, in Jesus' name. Amen.